Might be time for a bit of a market watch here, Tone, tonight. And we will get back to the Browns coming up, and we have some Ohio State conversation coming up, because this might have more pressure on Ryan Day than a Michigan game coming up this Saturday. We'll talk about that. However, LeBron is back in town tonight, and he's bringing his son with him.
Still an attraction, Kenny. Still an attraction, big
time. Yes, he is.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Lots of upper deck seats tonight that are anywhere from $150 to $250, which I'm telling you.
So get in prices $150.
They surged big time because, Owen, you were looking at it yesterday and said.
Yeah, so I don't know where you're seeing that. I'm seeing $100 right now, but I saw $70. Sunday I was looking for Browns tickets, and this pops up as events happening in your area soon, right? It was in the 60s and 70s on Sunday. We're up. If you're going tonight, you got to get in.
So people are going to accuse him of being narcissistic and all these other things. I don't see it that way. LeBron's got to come out and say he's going on a retirement tour next year. Next year's got to be the retirement tour. I think he's got one more year, unless something terrible happens, like he has an injury or something like that. I think he's got one more year, and then he's got to come out this coming off season, which we're only four games into this season, but the next off season, and say, I'm going to retire next season. And he'll be turning 41 during that year. Or if he feels he can go to 42, fine. But he's got to come out and do it. Because I think a lot of us are starting to treat him like they do the Rolling Stones back in the day. I mean, the Rolling Stones, now they just show up and it's like, hey, come see the Rolling Stones. Because, I mean, Father Time is only going to let these guys go on for so long. But people, for a long time, was like, oh, they're going on this retirement tour? Okay, maybe I'll see him on the next one or the one after that. Like, they were going on retirement tours when I was a little kid. The Rolling Stones were. And so I think a lot of people treat LeBron coming back as like, hey, it could be their last time ever. Well, in the NBA, there's usually a permanence to a retirement tour. Kobe, Vince Carter, when he was in town, remember that? There's a retirement tour. He needs to do it. He's going to need to do it and announce he's going to retire at the end of a specific year so then he gets the proper respect that I do believe he deserves. From every city he goes because I think he put the NBA on his shoulders there for a few seasons.
Definitely. I'll tell you that, you know, the last few days I've been like, man, doesn't seem to be the buzz about LeBron coming back. And I wondered if it's just LeBron fatigue. He's done it so many times. He's been here. It's always made a big deal. We always talk about the same stuff. Video tributes. What are we going to do? Yeah. And it's just he keeps playing more and more basketball that the conversation becomes kind of boring. But I'm like, man, if something happens this year, eventually LeBron will sustain a significant injury. So I've been saying that for 5-10 years. It hasn't happened.
So you're looking at, real quick, Bo, by the way, you're looking at secondary market. Is it a sellout from the primary market?
Well, and you're right. That one, I see one group of 100. Everything else is 140s and 150s right now. I think it's a sellout from the building standpoint. This is all secondary. I'll look on the actual website, but I mean, the tickets are bought.
But I was thinking, what if this was it? What if this is the last time we ever see LeBron playing basketball in a uniform in Cleveland? And what did all of you say? Like, you rolled your eyes because you're like, he'll be here next year and he'll probably be here the year after. Because you've now, he's done the unthinkable for so long.
He still looks like he's in great shape.
That he is. Now, he had a bad game last time out, and that was their first loss of the year. But he also already this year has a 32-14-10 game where he dominated the fourth quarter.
And I take from you, you're my basketball Sherpa, and you were telling me the other day he looks like he could go 2 or 3 more years. I mean, barring something catastrophic, right?
But I'm starting to think of more.
He's going to be around.
I'm starting to think of him more like Kobe. Like Kobe looked like he could go 2 or 3 more years. Then he hurt the Achilles, and then it robbed him of everything in that final season. And I'm starting to think it might happen there, where something bad could possibly happen to him, and then all of a sudden he's just not the same.
Did Kobe need the farewell tour that he got because he went to every arena? I don't know that LeBron needs a farewell tour.
They don't need a farewell tour, but at the same time...
But doesn't it have to be, this is your last chance to see LeBron?
It's your last chance to go see him.
You think he'd do that for the NBA?
Well, if he's going to be a future owner, I think that it's the right thing to do. Because if he's going to be a future owner, then you're telling the other owners you are guaranteed a sellout in a big moment here that fans are going to want to go see.
Which is what it was for Kobe. I will never forget going early as I could, camped out to see, just take it all in.
I remember
and
that
the amount
night.
Of people that, night. That yep. flew in from other countries because they're like, it's too expensive to go to L.A., so we're going to see him here, and this will be the last time I see him in Cleveland. And they all had great seats. They all had signs. They all had Kobe jerseys. And, like, LeBron is going to get that. He is one of the most recognizable figures, not in the NBA, in all of sports, and maybe even transcends it, maybe just all the world. That's how big of a deal LeBron James is.
Do you think our listeners need to see LeBron once before he goes?
I know that I'd like to know when it is so I can see him one more time. Yeah, I mean, I've been watching him since his freshman year of high school. I feel like I will have to be there for his final game in Cleveland. It's just hard to know when is that going to be.
LeBron James than any other. Gosh. I mean, they play 162, so I can't say more than Jose. I mean, Jose's been here a decade now. Mm-hmm. But, man, I've watched it. He's been there 20 years. He's been in the NBA for 20
years. Well, and in the 11 years he played in Cleveland, you were as dialed in as you were anything else. It was like a football game night.
You couldn't miss a game. You couldn't do it.
And then the playoffs.
I mean, I might have watched LeBron more than any other athlete than I've ever seen. And I don't get to see him now as much because his games tip off at 10:30 Eastern most of the time, so I don't get to see him a whole lot. But when I do, I have to stop and I have to see it. And I've been very accusatory of the Lakers just kind of using him as a sideshow in the past. But you know what? He got the championship, and he got the championship for them, but he's got the championship for us, and I still revere him for that. What were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, how old were you the first time that you heard about LeBron?
High school. I'm a grade younger than LeBron. Okay. I'm about 18 months younger than him because I was young for my grade.
Just put that in perspective. I mean, you have a kid that's in fourth grade now.
He dunked on one of my close buddies who I was at the Browns-Bengals game with, and my buddy still brags because there were certain... when you dunk on somebody and you dunk that high, there are certain things that can get in people's faces as they dunk on you, and that actually happened to my buddy. He brags about it, that there was garbage in his face while he got dunked on when he played basketball for the Massillon Tigers. Like, that's as big a deal
it's
as it gets.
It's an honor to be dunked on by LeBron at that age. But, yeah, I mean, this is what I'm talking about. Like, all the games that I have watched, and he's been such a fixture of the playoffs for so many years, and how many NBA Finals was it in a row where part of them I was rooting against LeBron with passion.
Yes.
And then part of it was, you know, he comes back to Cleveland and then you're dialed in again and you're going out every night and just remembering those times and celebrating basketball and celebrating Cleveland, celebrating LeBron. I mean, he's as influential as it gets. I've said before, I think it's the best story in sports history. And there are some great stories that he's competing with. But when it's all said and done, like, you know, MJ got the 10-part Last Dance. Me and LeBron, they got so much more footage of. They could do 30. They could do 30 parts.
For one night, does he tend to overshadow the Cavs? They're 4-0. They've had a tremendous start. Does he overshadow the Cavs? Because it's like if they were playing in the NBA Finals, for the love of God, like, no, the Cavaliers come first. But since it's October 30th, early in the season.
We're unbeaten. And it's fun to be one of the three teams
town.
Left, right?
Yeah, you're... That's it. There's only three unbeaten left.
I think that's it.
And we're one of three unbeatens. He's back in town. I think if he were here and you knew it was his final time, if he announced a retirement tour, because I think if he does announce a retirement tour, his time in Cleveland will be a nationally televised big ticket game.
I can't believe tonight isn't.
Yeah.
To be honest.
But I think once they announce that, like, it would be a TNT. Well, not next year. It won't be a TNT game, but you get what I'm saying. Like, it'll be a big-time nationally televised game.
What would tickets go for?
It would be, I think that your get-in prices would be probably somewhere in the 250s, 300s for upper deck.
That's
I
NBA
think
that, Finals.
I think I mean, lower bowl would be unimaginable. I think they would be finals prices, yes. I think that that might supersede it. I still don't think that it supersedes the Cavs now. I think 4-0, we're excited about this young core.
Yeah, the fact that they're 4-0.
But I do think a late October, early November meeting here in Cleveland, if we knew it was his last time out, like, yeah, it might be bigger than
I'm just telling you,
than just this season.
There is a sound. This is what I love about all the different sports and how unique it is for every sport. There is a sound when LeBron has it going on. There is a sound in that building in particular. Do you remember the All-Star game? The last one. There is a sound that it makes when he gets on a roll and everybody puts aside basketball true fans. They put aside all the conflicted feelings they might have. Some people, I mean, my God, the people in Akron aren't conflicted at all. It's been all gravy with LeBron. They rooted for him when he left. There's a sound that it makes, and if he is on one of those runs, especially in the fourth quarter tonight, it's going to be pretty special, and it's special every time, and you just don't know how many more of those times he's going to have left.
True.
You just don't know, but when it goes, it is awesome. I get chills thinking about it, and it sends me right back to that first time we saw him in a Cleveland Cavs uniform, first time I saw him in a high school uniform, first time I rooted against him when he was a Miami Heat. It just matters more. When LeBron is involved, it just matters more.
As the Browns are getting ready to take on the L.A. Chargers over at Huntington Bank Field, Spiro Dedis, Adam Archuleta, and Aditi Kinkabwala on the sidelines. And Aditi joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Remember, she was on the sidelines for that Bengals game a couple of Sundays ago. Aditi, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you, friend?
It's wonderful to talk to you. It's wonderful to talk to you after a big Browns win, where there are some people saying right now, Albert Breer was on the show yesterday, on the afternoon show yesterday. He said the Browns are a dangerous team now. I'm sure you watched over what the Browns did on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. Do I assume you agree with Albert Breer that the Browns are dangerous now?
You know what, let's go back to the Bengals game that we had, that our crew had, and the defense finally played like we expected the defense to play. And Nick Chubb, of course, made his debut, and we don't expect in week one, week two back that he's suddenly going to give us 200 yards. But to feel like, okay, the defense is finding its identity, it's figuring out what it wants to be, is a good sign. Number one, knowing that Nick Chubb is back has to make everybody feel better. Number two, and then let's be honest, you know, like the offense just looks like an actual functioning offense this past weekend. And yeah, I know it was living on the edge, and I know that Kyle Hamilton holds onto a ball and something might be a little bit different, but the truth of the matter is that when the Browns have trotted out a different quarterback, one not named Deshaun Watson, over the last few years, they've looked pretty okay. Yeah.
Well,
that's a
Aditi,
lot of couching right there.
Yeah,
I
just said last segment that I found it really, really hard to talk about that game and pinpoint specifically outside of, yes, they had elevated quarterback play, but also the offensive line, the running game. Receivers are catching balls. Everything seemed to change at the same time.
I can't disagree with you. I'm very, you know, I said this yesterday. I'm really eager to actually be on the sideline. The experience 2 weeks ago was unbelievably frustrating. I've never seen a sideline operation. I'll be honest, I've never seen Kevin Stefanski frustrated. You know, the thing about Kevin Stefanski is that he is so level. And over the course of the last few years, I've even joked with him, like, do you even get upset at your kids? Does anybody at home ever make you mad? Because he always just gives you the same facial expression. And that Bengals game, the number of times I saw him sort of, you know, I don't want to say hang his head, but shake his head or throw his hands in the air or just the signs of, can you believe this? I'd never seen that before. So I'm really eager to see if that feels very different. I'll throw this out there. I'm sorry to interrupt you, probably one of the coolest parts of my job. And this last week I had the Jets and the Patriots, and you know, Jeff Ulbrich is as nice of a guy as they come with the Jets. It's a horrible position to be thrown into being a head coach with absolutely zero experience at doing it. But the Jets' sideline was just so messy. I mean, they had four timeouts that had nothing to do with the clock. They got a delay of game on a two-point conversion. It was just like, what is going on? Meanwhile, you go on the other side with the Patriots, where I'm sorry, they just don't have enough players. They have a first-year head coach, but Alex Van Pelt, who you're all very familiar with, of course, he was in Cleveland. He's calling the offense. He loses Drake May. Jacoby Brissett goes in, and it's just like, same facial expression, same, like, order, same, like, okay, we know how we function here. And see, these are sort of like the little things that you can kind of tell when you get to watch up close, and I'm really eager to see how the sideline operation looks this week. For the Browns, obviously.
Now, Didi, obviously, they were forced to make the move because of the Watson injury. There were a lot of us in town wondering if that change should have happened earlier. I had talked about the Philly game earlier on the schedule, but never did they make that clean break. They wanted to exhaust all evaluations under Deshaun Watson as they could until they didn't have to worry about it anymore. So I guess I'd ask you, did it happen too late, or is this season still salvageable?
You know, I think the AFC is so wacky right now, and no one, I mean, take out the Chiefs, and, you know, like, you like who the Bills are, but until you can actually put it together in the postseason, let's just say it's about getting to the dance, right? So, like, right now, who are the best teams in the AFC? You've got the Chiefs, you've got the Bills. The Steelers' record is good, but like the Steelers looked totally vulnerable on Monday night. Quite a few things. I mean, this is every game in the NFL. This is sort of the point that, like, even the Ravens. You look at the Ravens. You think the Ravens are great, but you need more out of that defense. Like, what's going on with that defense? And they just lost to you, to the Browns. So, like, the point in my saying all of this is that I still think that the AFC is a bit wild. I still think that things can happen. I don't see the Browns giving up on the season right now. And I think that there's a little bit of injection of something, new life, whether it's with Jameis, who's just a character among characters, whether it's Nick Chubb getting better each week, whether it's Kevin, however this was the manifestation of Kevin not doing the play calling anymore. Maybe that means he's more involved with other parts of the team. Who knows? But it's just hard to, there are some teams that you can write off because they just don't have the players. They just don't have the talent. I don't think that there's a huge hole in the Browns roster, especially if the line is getting healthy, and especially if Nick Chubb is getting healthy, and especially as if you're seeing players play a little bit differently behind this quarterback or in front of this quarterback.
Aditi Kinkabwala joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Follow her on Twitter at @AKinkabwala. You mentioned that roster. Aditi, like, we've had a big conversation here a couple of times over the last couple of days about what happens on Sunday. Do they have to win and look good to not let any of these guys go to other places? Because 3-6 is still an uphill battle before you get to your bye week. But it can be done, even though, boy, it's a heck of a hole to be in. If they win, do they have to look good on Sunday while doing it to stop any of that
stuff?
This
is like the most ridiculous thing that I've ever, like, I'm sorry, but like, why do people care about style points?
Well,
a win is a win is a win. At the end of the season, if you're 13-3, do you lose some of those games if some of those wins were ugly? Like, it's about how you win.
Well, I agree. Didi, I agree.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's not about how you win. It's about winning.
Yeah.
It's about winning, period, well, period. Like, well, who cares?
I agree.
At the end of the season, yeah, I know. You know what? I just think that
there's a but here. There is a but here. I agree, but, like, I think that we have it in our heads. Like, you got a third-round pick for Amari Cooper. That's a nice haul back for Amari Cooper. So there's a thought that maybe we could get a nice haul back for some of these other guys. And it's like they don't want to go out there and win 16-14. And then all of a sudden the bottom falls out after the bye week against New Orleans. And then we have it in our heads,
really?
These visions of grandeur you could have got back.
Against New Orleans.
I mean, they're 2-6 right now. They could lose to anybody. I didn't think they'd go out there and fall flat on their face against Philadelphia. I think if Jameis Winston would have played, they probably would have won that game. I didn't expect him to go out there and look listless against Las Vegas. If Jameis would have played there, they would have won that game. I didn't think they'd go out there and look the way they did against the Giants. So they're still not in that category of this should be a win, this should be a win, that should be a win.
Well, and that, yes, and I hate that idea in general. You know, every NFL player on every team goes out every week and thinks, I've got a chance to win. They don't sit here and look and say, oh, this is a winnable game. That's what fans and people in our business do. I don't think that it's fire sale moment. And I'm reminded of something Kurt Warner told me a long time ago about the year before his team had gone to the Super Bowl, and it was kind of what was seemingly, you know, a quote unquote lost year. It didn't look like things were, you know, that great, whatever. I don't remember the exact details of it. We could probably look it up, but they finished the season well. And he said the way that we finished the season absolutely carried over into the next season. And are you sitting here and saying, okay, the Browns are completely, totally terrible. As the Browns try to build a new stadium, create a whole new area, do all these things, you think they're just giving up on everything they've done the last few years, everything they've brought together on this defense, and they're just saying, okay, complete fire sale and total rebuild? I don't see that. I don't think the Browns are saying that this particular moment has closed. So how you do this year, absolutely, even though the team will change, even though the roster won't be entirely the same, there's certainly some carryover. And I don't, again, a win is a win. It's about getting those wins. It's about climbing in that win column. And however you need to do it, you do it. And if that means running the ball 35 times, then you run the ball 35 times.
Aditi, what do you think of Jameis and everything that he brings to the table? We know about the big throws, the vertical throws down the field. We also know that that is a man who never misses an opportunity when he's mic'd up to have some very either fun or insightful things to say.
You know what? I chatted with Joel Bitonio last week before the Bengals game, and he was sort of commenting, not sort of, he was commenting on Jameis's schedule and what he does. And he said, you know, the guy's in early every day. He's working on his body. He's watching the film. He's hanging out with guys. He's staying late. And essentially, he's doing all of the things that you want to see a quarterback do. And I think that that's great. I think that's one of those things that I think when you build camaraderie and connection and all of that, it makes a difference. And I think he keeps things fun. I mean, whether he's quoting his pastor or quoting Eminem, he's just, football is meant to be fun. It's meant to be loose. And I like that he brings that energy.
Aditi joins us from CBS Sports. This is a tough question to ask, but we've asked it to others. I have to ask you. Does Deshaun Watson play for the Browns again?
I don't know. I can't predict the future, but, I mean, he's got a long rehab. He's got a long recovery, a long rehab ahead of him. Is he even ready? I mean, at what point next season is he even ready, if he is ready?
We've been through this odyssey where I'm like, man, they're not going to put him on, like, because of play. Like, Lima couldn't see the future either, so when it was like, he didn't see him having a terrible Achilles injury. But Lima thought, you know, these things have a way of working themselves out. Maybe there's a quote-unquote groin injury or a hamstring or a calf or something like that. And then all of a sudden they put in Jameis or they put in DTR or whatever. I thought that there's no way they're going to put him on the sidelines due to performance and have that crowd jeering him wherever he goes and he's just standing on the sidelines. But now, you know, I do see a way where they could be like, all right, like we're on the hook for this contract for at least another couple of years. We either have Jameis come back next year, which is another conversation we could have again. We had it at the beginning of the show today. Or you draft quarterback X, he's the starter, all of our attention is paid towards him, and hey, you know what? You can take all the time you need now to come back from this injury. You don't have to worry, you don't have to hurry anything. We don't have to stick you right out there week one. Take all the time you want, and you can be the backup to quarterback X, whoever that might be. Is that fair?
It seems like a more likely scenario, but I don't know that it's a draft. I mean, are you done evaluating Dorian Thompson-Robinson? Are you done seeing what you have with him?
Personally, I think I might be. I think he's a fine kid, but I don't know if he's starting quality in the NFL.
No, it's
franchise quality.
My play-by-play announcer Spiro, while we were sleeping, sent us this tweet that I think was from Warren Sharp. And no, sorry, it was somebody named Sam Block. And it was about all these quarterbacks. Anthony Richardson, 22, benched. Bryce Young, 23, benched. Trey Lance, 24, benched. Justin Fields, 25, benched. Will Levis, 25, benched. Zach Wilson, 25, benched. And on and on. Mac Jones, 26, benched. These guys aren't being developed. they're not being given a chance. How do you really know what you have if you're not taking time to really grow and develop them? And you look at, you know, I have to appreciate the renaissance of a quarterback like Joe Flacco. I was just talking to my friend Melissa Stark, who's got the Colts this weekend on Sunday Night Football, and I said, Joe is playing better right now than he was, let's say, 4 or 5 years ago. And there's something to be said for that. There's something to be said for time and growth and experience. And I know that that doesn't serve you well right now, but I'm kind of saying, like, why would you? I mean, it does in the sense that, hey, why can't Jameis Winston do something more right now than what you saw of him? You know, I'm saying it's so easy for us to say, oh, we know exactly who someone is. And you're saying, oh, you know exactly who Dorian Thompson Robinson is. How do you know that?
I don't. But
you really don't.
I'm leaning. Aditi, if you give me the choice tomorrow.
The game against the Bengals was so unfair because he didn't know that he was the backup. I mean, he was not prepared.
And they put him in a terrible situation. They put him in a terrible situation.
Of course.
But if you're making me choose tomorrow, Ken, Cam Ward or Dorian Thompson Robinson, I'm taking Cam Ward. It's that simple. I mean, you can't fault me for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there you go. I'm not trying to be mean spirited towards Dorian at all. I like the kid. But so far, if I have to make a gamble on any one of these names for my future, you know, that's just who I have to take. Gosh, now that I hate ending on that. Aditi, are you excited to come to Cleveland? Say yes, and then we can end. Because I hate ending
I'm
on that.
I'm definitely excited.
Thank you.
We are staying in a different hotel than the last time, and I am especially excited about that, although I won't disparage anyone.
Oh, thank you.
And I always enjoy coming to Cleveland, and it's not supposed to rain, right? How's the weather looking?
My wife worked in hotels before this, so text me the hotel you stayed at.
Yeah,
text me the hotel. I'll tell you whether or not it was a dump, okay?
I don't need you to tell me if I know true. What it was.
That's a good point.
But hopefully it'll be semi-warm and no rain on Sunday.
We're hoping.
And that we'll get a really good game.
Aditi, we look forward to watching you on Sunday. We thank you very much for the time.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.
Aditi Kinkabwala on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline from CBS Sports.
You just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
So I get a text yesterday from Ken, and I felt bad. And I think maybe Ken thought I would pounce on him. I felt bad.
Kind of wanted you to.
I think this will happen to everybody, but it'll happen to every guy. And guys take this more seriously because we do not like to admit weakness, and we certainly don't like to admit that we screwed up when we're driving our vehicle.
Oh, my God. It was terrible yesterday. So I got home, and it was a great day outside, and I went to close my rear hatch because I can't have a truck without a rear slider. My dad had one in his S10 when I was growing up, and I just got too used to the luxury.
Well, where do you throw the cans out at?
Yeah, you got to
have one.
You know what? Surprisingly, Dad don't drink. I've only seen him inebriated one time in my life.
That's it.
Not a big fan of the alcohol.
Oh.
And it was screwdriver. He doesn't like beer. Yeah.
You do anything else?
I'm an apple that fell away from the tree. That's legal now. And he's retired. Anyway, well, it feels good to say that now. I've been holding that back for a long time. Anywho, so I pulled into the circle, and I'm fiddling around because I hit the wrong button when I went to hit the and something else moved. And I went, damn it, and I went to hit that. And because I wasn't paying attention, I had it in reverse. This is something I've done thousands of times, except I must have had the wheel cut to about 45 degrees instead of 30, and boom, I hit the fire hydrant. Backed into the fire hydrant.
What are you laughing at?
And destroyed.
That's not what I was expecting.
My bumper.
You got to see it.
My bumper.
What'd you expect him to say?
I destroyed it. Oh, God. Who knows?
That he broke the window.
Here you go. There it is, bud. There it is. It looks like I hit a clown. It looks like I hit a clown.
With all the colors. Look at the carnage.
They had freshly painted that fire hydrant, and to the point where I posted it on the Facebook page about how excited I was about that being painted, how nice it looked and everything like that. It looked so nice that I hit it. In the perfect spot, by the way. The perfect spot. I get out of the truck. I look back. I see it. I'm just like, goo! I get back in the truck. I'm trying to drive the truck. Truck ain't moving. The e-brake came on. I hit it so hard.
Okay.
The e-brake
came on. A couple
things.
Did you, first of all, you knew exactly what you did when it happened, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Second of all.
Hell yeah, I did.
Second, oh, you weren't worried that it was like a pet or...
Oh, thank God.
You got lucky there.
Thank God.
That you didn't get the classic TV situation of the water.
Oh, that's right. No, for a split second, I stopped.
The neighbors would have been out with their cameras.
For a split second, I stopped and I looked up and I'm like, okay.
Curb your enthusiasm theme.
No water. Okay. And I went back and I'm like, maybe I just dinged it. And I looked at the.
I don't know how you hit it hard enough to do that much damage and it didn't come up because it's held on by like. 4 bolts
so I call,
into a lead pipe.
I walk into the house, and Liz looks at me, and she's like, what's the matter? And I just go, I've destroyed my truck. And she goes, what? And I go, I've destroyed my truck. And this look comes across her face. And she goes, what do you mean? I go, I hit the fire hydrant out front. And now that I remember it, she's trying to hold back her satisfaction and happiness. So it plays out. She calls her father. She calls my father-in-law. He's on FaceTime, and he's like, you hit it in the perfect spot. And I'm going, excuse me? He goes, there's no, you didn't hit it where no the hitch frame. Is. If you'd hit it with the hitch, you would have taken off the fire hydrant. There's nothing in the frame. You've destroyed the bumper, but bumpers are replaceable. There's nothing out there that's bad. So Liz like wanted
the gate's
like
not hurt at all.
Liz wanted to like buy a bumper and like no. I'm like, no, when do I have time to replace it myself? I don't have the tools, the time, the patience. I can't do it. I said, I call up Andy. Yeah, you could. I call up Andy over at the unpaid. Well, technically a testimonial for a place you can count on. But I call up Andy at North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. He sends me to a place in Strongsville to call this guy named Jason. This guy Jason's great. Long story short, I got a ticket over there today. It looks like hell.
Okay, when it happened,
looks
when you
hellish.
First looked at it, are you one of those that is very nervous to look? Or are you like, I got to see immediately?
No, I was nervous. I would look like Willie Mays Hayes in Major League. I'm going to see if I got cut.
You're acting like you totaled your vehicle, though. I mean, still would have been drivable.
I know.
Are you driving it right now?
Yeah, I brought it in because I got to take it down to Strongsville.
Was it as bad as you thought it would be?
It was
better
worse.
Or worse.
It was worse than I thought it would be. And Liz called this insurance agent, and I swear to God, they're laughing over the phone because Liz is like, I'm so glad it wasn't me. He would have been an unconscionable bastard about this. And now she can hold it over my head for the rest of our lives because I was on the phone with Lima and I'm driving Liz's car. And this is a new SUV. I got it for her, 2 months ago, Tone? And I look and I go, what is this? Are these effing fries? Because I went to open up the middle thing, and there are fries stuck in the thing. And I looked at them, and I go, can't say bleep to her, because I backed into a fire hydrant.
I'm going to tell you now, you can't. I have a similar thing. My wife had done a little fender bender where she wasn't paying attention to the car in front of her, right off the exit of Nagel and Lear in Avon, and bumped into the back, and we waited for the winter to get over, and I paid the deductible, and we got it fixed. And I told her, we can't do this again. And 2 weeks later, I backed into one of those yellow poles because I was upset about something that was happening and not paid attention. And one of those yellow poles that keep you from jumping the curb, hit it with the side fender right in the metal part where you've got to take it to the body shop. And we had just paid the deductible, and I had refused to do it again. So she drove that thing around for a year like that.
A year?
And I could not say anything to her about anything in her vehicle because I had damaged her vehicle.
You guys both know this.
She wins forever.
You've lost.
Yep.
You may have lost the war on this one.
I get so mad because I have to take care of the vehicles. I have to clean them.
And you do.
I am meticulous.
Fastidious.
Yes. I am a clean
man. With your caretaking.
For as heavy as I am, and I demand a clean vehicle. And I take very good care of the inside. I get very upset if I don't have time to clean it.
He gets mad at other people's inside of the car.
Yeah, I do, actually. I go, how do you let this go like this?
How do you
not throw this wrapper away? How do you just leave this here?
So hold on. You talked about the fact that it was a tough pill to swallow with the wife. You got to tell me this because eventually, especially my son, is going to be looking up to me at some point. What do you tell the kids? Are you honest about this?
I came home and Axel's little buddy Gavin came over. And
Owen said no.
Axel goes, Gavin, look at this. And I go, stop showing all your friends what happened.
There would be lots of cuss words said at my kid that it's none of their damn business.
Neighbors were texting about it.
Well, you know
that.
The
one kid's in college down at Capitol. He goes, I heard you could hear you screaming down here in Columbus. I go, I didn't say a word. I was so shocked. I did not cuss that loud. I wasn't even that loud about it. I wasn't even that loud. I was so shocked at what had transpired.
The most shocking thing was that you hid this from me for
almost
15 seconds before the segment.
I mentioned I got a loaner. I'm getting a loaner, and I go, oh, no, I forgot to tell Owen I let the cat out of the bag. So, yeah, I texted the coaches like, hey, I might not make it tonight because Liz needs her vehicle. I'm like, I didn't want to drive it.
Now, let me ask
until I need to take it into work.
What would the damage have been if it were a Cybertruck?
I have no idea, Anthony. I have no clue. I know you're trying to rope me into something,
but that seems to be on my About You. They think I really like Cybertrucks. It's every post. Well, it's amazing.
Hit them with coolers, and they don't dent.
They don't dent, and they beat every single race car, in whether it's towing something or not.
It's amazing.
It wins every single one.
You can't find anything about Rivian on there. It's unbelievable to me.